Amen. Let's all remain standing and open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 4, or verse 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we read these sterling words, these very pointed, deliberate exhortation from the Apostle Peter. And we believe these words were written for this hour. For many will come in this day, saying, Lord, Lord, have not I prophesied in your name? Have not I done many wonderful works in your name? And yet, you yourself, through your Son, because your Son could say nothing but what you showed him first, and you spoke through your Son and said, depart from me, for I never knew you. And so, Lord, we see it as a day of perilous times. It's a time of a great trying of our faith. And yet we see it in this hour. Many will bring in, which means they're coming from the outside, bringing in to the truth false doctrine. And that false doctrine will pertain to a denial of your Son. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be with us, Lord, as we would search your scripture for truth, for thy word is truth. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to stand with a vindicated prophet on those statements in which he taught us that there is one God and he had a Son. Father, we pray that you would bless these words tonight, and may they go forth, Lord, with the right attitude, with the right spirit. And may they help us, Lord, to take a little inventory of our own selves, our own condition. And may it be words, Father, of instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished under all good works. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. But this know also, that as there were false prophets among the people, even so there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And notice, and many, so it's not a few here, it's many shall follow their pernicious, their bloodless ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, pretended words, make merchandise of you. Now, this is talking about, there's a group, there's going to be people come on the scene at the end time. They're going to teach the Godhead incorrectly. They're not going to teach regarding the Son. It's going to put it all into the Father. they're going to teach God in a different way in which Jesus taught him. Remember, Jesus came to reveal, to declare the Father. And so his declaration was not his own doctrine. He says, it's not my own words, my Father's that sent me. And so we have to ask ourselves, notice, he says, and many shall follow their bloodless ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So these people will speak evil of the truth. Now, I have to ask myself, when Brother Brown says, I am not a oneness, he says, you Trinitarians, get that out of your head. I am not a oneness. I believe that the oneness, or the oneness understanding, denies the one who bought them. Because when you make the body God, then you're making the body the body's immortal, it cannot die, so he didn't die on the cross. Or, if you make the body just a badger skin, without his own reasoning, without his own mind, without his own ability to make a decision, then you might as well just have had taken off your coat and hung it on the tree. Because what kind of a sacrifice is that? You see, sacrifice is something when you're asked to do something that is very, very difficult. Now, it's not too difficult to hang a coat. Any of you to hang your coat, say, well, I don't need it anymore. Throw it on the tree. Put nails to it. Doesn't matter. You can burn it. Doesn't matter. It has no feelings. And what they've done is they've so deified the man Christ Jesus that they've left out the man part. And yet there's one mediator between, which means if it's between, there's got to be two to be between God and man. There's one mediator which is in between. So you have man on one side, you have God on the other side, and you have someone in between. And that's the man Jesus. Now tonight I'm just going to take a short little subject on paragraph 95 of Who is This Melchizedek? And this will be number 91 in our series, and we're going to call it Melchizedek Was God, the Word. From Who is This Melchizedek? Paragraph 95, Brother Branham said, now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view was that he was God, the Word. Now that ought to settle it right there, because Brother Branham says, say what the tapes say. Now there's people who say that Melchizedek was the Son of God. They're not saying what the tapes say. The tape says he was God, the Word. For he was God the Word before he became flesh, God the Word. Because he had to be. No one else could be immortal like him. See? I had a father and mother and you did too. Jesus had a father and mother. But this man had no father or mother or had no mother. Jesus had a time he started. This man didn't. Jesus gave his life. This man couldn't. Now see, if this man is the one who hung on the tree, he couldn't give his life. God had to lead Jesus so that he could give his life. That makes two to me. Not just one who indwelt a coat. Jesus had a time that he started. This man didn't. Jesus gave his life. This man couldn't because he was life. And it's the self-same man all the time, and I hope God reveals it to you, the self-same person all the time. Notice this title, or notice his title, King of Righteousness. Now Hebrews 7 and 2 says King of Righteousness and King of Peace. He's two kings. Now watch, Hebrews 7 and 2, King of Righteousness, also the King of Peace. He's two kings. Now, since he has come in the flesh and received his body up, in Revelation 21:16, he's called the King of Kings. He's all three of them together, see? King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. Now, before you get in mind that Jesus the man is this king he's talking about, let me ask you something. Jesus said, I come in my Father's what? Okay, then what's the Father's name? Jesus. Okay, thank you. All right, he's all three of them together. See, King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. He's the King of Kings. It's all met just like soul, body, and spirit. All comes to make one. Also, he is the Father, which was the first, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Spirit. King of Righteousness, the Spirit attribute, Theophany, King of Peace, Theophany, and in flesh, he was King of Kings, same person. Now I ask the question. Brother Branham said he can't be his own father. Is that right? Didn't he say that? Then notice here though, he says, also he is the Father, which was the first, comma. Then he says, Son, comma, and Holy Ghost. The Spirit. Now, if he can't be his own Father, notice Jesus can't be his own Father, well, who is the Father? God. Then Jesus can't be God. But God dwelt in him. Now, This is the problem that the Pharisees had when Jesus spoke. They couldn't understand what he was talking about, and they said, "Who you're trying to make yourself God?" He said, "I'm not making myself God." He said, "Doesn't the Bible say that whom the Word comes to are gods?" He said, "Then why do you have a problem when I say I'm the Son of God?" And they said it was blasphemy, and they took up stones to stone him. Now this evening, I would like to examine these statements of Brother Branham's, because if you are oneness in your thinking, these thoughts that Brother Branham laid out here are going to take you into a mental spin. Brother Branham begins by saying that he's going to talk about the true revelation of who Melchizedek is, and then he says he was God, the Word. Now most oneness in this message believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is the Word of God that came out of God. That Logos that came out of God. But that is error. Or they believe that he's the God of John 1 and 1. That is error. John 1 and 1 plainly teaches that God is the Word, period. Let's read it. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that word "with" is an interposition. It's an interpolation. It's not there in the Greek. It's not there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The word "with" is an interpolation. It's placed in there by the group of King James, the King James put together. But anyway, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice the Scripture plainly tells us that God is the Word. Now the Trinitarian will say, wait a minute, it says the Word was with God, implying that it was separate from Him, but dwelling in His presence together with Him, like another being that is there beside God. Well, the Jehovah's Witness try to explain it this way, using the translation from the Diaglot, which is wrong in this case. And remember, the Diaglot is from the Latin, not from the Greek. So there's already a translation made from the Aramaic to the Greek, and from the Greek to the Latin. So you've got two translations before you're reading the Diaglot, then you're interpreting what you're reading through your own filter. And by the time you get to two or three translations, you've got something skewed up. And so it has gone through two separate translations before you read it, and thus the Jehovah Witnesses look to the Diaglot as their absolute here. And the translation in the Diaglot reads this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God, and a God was the Word. And a God was the Word. Well, if a God was the Word, and in the beginning was, notice, let's read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the God. The Word was with the God, and a God was the Word. Well, now you got two gods. Right? You got the God and a God. Well, Brother Graham said in the message Christ revealed in His own Word, he said, notice, to misinterpret Jesus in the form of God, in a man, you would make him one God out of three. To misinterpret Jesus Christ being the Word, you'd make him one God out of three, or you'd make him the second person in a Godhead. And to do that, you'd mess the whole Scripture up. You'd never get nowhere, so it must not be misinterpreted. And if you say that a certain thing, and you put an interpretation on it, and you apply it to another time, or it's been applied to another time, and you also make it incorrect interpreting. And then from paragraph 76, he says, if anybody misinterpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of not being God Himself, make Him a second person or one God out of three, this would upset every word in the Bible, in the entire Bible. It would break the first commandment, thou shalt not have any other God before Me. Alright? It would make the whole Christian race a bunch of pagan worshipers worshiping three different gods. See what kind of a Bible that you'd have? Then it'd make us what the Jews say that we are, when they said, which one of them gods is your God? See? So you see, you mustn't misinterpret the Bible. For Jesus himself is the interpretation of the Bible when he's made manifest in the age that the part of his body is being made manifest. Now what Brother Branham is telling us here is very, very important. And I want you to notice that it is this very important thing that he said here that the Jews did. And they are doing today. They are misinterpreting the Word. They cannot understand Jesus was not God. But he was the Son of God in whom God himself was pleased to dwell in. But just because God indwelled Jesus, the Son of God, it did not make the Son of God, God. Nor did it make his body, God. When I was in the Philippines, there was eight brothers. Well, I don't know if I should call them brothers. I'll say it to be nice. There were brothers claiming the message anyway that showed up at the second meetings in Manila. And I was told afterwards that these men come quite often whenever a man or whenever a missionary comes from overseas, and they like to cause fusses. Well, these guys showed up and they had some questions to ask. And of course, the questions led, and actually, as we talked with them, it became very apparent that they were two souls, which they were. And it just came out in the discussion. I mean, they just gave away their position. But they believed that the body that God dwelt in was God. Therefore, God died on the cross. When I showed him, Brother Branham said the body was not deity. They want so much to believe Brother Branham. So they said, okay, the body was not deity, but God still died on the cross. I said, how can God die? He's the immortal king. He's the only immortal. That's what the Bible says. He's the only immortal king. He's immortal. Immortal cannot die. Well, the spirit, they said, didn't die, but his body died. So they don't believe that there was another being called the Son of God. After going over about five quotes where Brother Branham talked about him being a dual person, showing several quotes where Brother Branham said, now there's two of them now. About 5 minutes afterwards, they said, show me one quote where Brother Branham said there's two of them now. I said, I just read you five. But they came as the church age book says, they came with their mind made up. If the mind was made up, then they didn't come to listen, to hear. They came only to debate. And that's exactly what took place. For we see in John chapter 10, if you turn with me, and reading from verse 32, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. You can't throw the scripture out. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into this world, thou blasphemest, because I said that I am the Son of God? Now notice, Jesus never said he was God. He said he was the Son of God. But him saying that he's the Son of God, they said, you're making yourself God. Isn't that what they did? You can preach and preach and preach and say there's one God and he had a son, and they'll say, you're preaching two gods. The same thing that the Jews did. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. In other words, look, it's vindication. Believe the vindication.
But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. Believe the vindication. That you may know and believe that the Father is in me.
Well, that explains it all. That the Father is in me. That you might understand that the Father is in me and I in Him. He's talking about a relationship, a dual being there. They didn't understand it.
Now notice, Jesus did not tell them that He was God, but He said, I am the Son of God, and they could not seem to get it, just like today. You say Jesus was not His own Father, and there is one who is the Father, and there is another who is the Son of the Father, and they say that you're preaching two gods, just like the Jews accused Jesus of doing. They just couldn't get it. And so they said that He was claiming to be God Himself because He claimed God was in Him. Therefore, they could not understand the concept that Jesus was teaching them, the doctrine Jesus was teaching them about God life. The concept of the God life in the Son does not make the Son God, but it makes Him the Son of God. They couldn't get that concept. And I'll tell you the reason why, because they were so ingrained, one God, one God, one God, one God, that when God sends a Savior to the world, His only begotten Son, and God indwells Him, and they see and recognize those miracles, they say, we have no problem with the miracles, but you man, you're a man, and you're making yourself God. He said, I never said I'm God, I'm the Son of God. How be it God have a Son? Their concept was Spirit. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. That they failed to recognize when God, who is Spirit, who is the Word, manifested Himself in that body of flesh. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to manifest myself. I didn't come to express. I came to declare the Father. It's not me that doeth the works. It's the Father that dwelleth in me. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, the Son can of Himself do nothing. Now, I heard a minister say this. He was preaching about the Godhead, and he said, well, you see, you have to understand that God and the Son is like a light bulb and electricity. You see, God's electricity, and you can't see it. And Jesus is the Son, and you can see the Son. He's manifested. But you can't see the Father except the Father light out through the Son. Then he says, therefore, in this sense, God is nothing or useless without the Son. That's the statement. God is no good, is the words he used, no good without the Son. Now, brother, sister, God dwelt for an eternity by Himself without the Son. You see, sons have beginnings. And God dwelt for an eternity in the past without a Son of God. So God is useless without the Son? You mean I have to have a light bulb in order to have electricity manifest itself? That means my toaster shouldn't work. That means my dryer shouldn't work. That means my air conditioner shouldn't work because it's not a light bulb. That makes a lot of sense. Of course, the same man in describing the great fountain of life in the beginning called it this great nothingness. This abyss, he called it. Now, to me, an abyss is a bottomless pit. Now, how could God be an abyss or be a great nothingness? But they use their great abilities to talk in circles, not knowing what they're talking about. Why do you stone me? For what
good work do you stone me? For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus says, hold the boat. Hold it right there. He said, when have I made myself God? He said, I've called myself the Son of God. Now, Brother Graham said, you must not misinterpret the word. What does it mean to miss? Huh? You didn't hit it. You're off. You're wrong. All right. Brother Graham said, you must not misinterpret the word. So if it's to misinterpret, then it's to wrongly interpret, right? Or to be off in your interpretation. And I'd like to look a little closer at this time to what he's saying, because it appears at first to be quite confusing. He said, now, let's take his statement one at a time and look closer at what he's saying. He said, if anybody misinterpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of not being God Himself, make Him the second person, whatever. He's talking about the Godhead. Now, I want you to notice there are two negatives in this sentence. Miss and not. We all know that two negatives makes a positive, but we're not talking about math. But in language, or in language usage, if two negative prepositions are used in a sentence, we can actually leave both of them out of the sentence and not change the sentence. Is that correct? Well, I'm asking. If you have two negative prepositions in a sentence, and you take both of them out, you don't change the sentence. So, let us take out, if anybody misinterprets, now he's talking about, he's not saying if anybody interprets Jesus Christ of the Bible of not being God Himself, that would make Him the second person. He's not saying that. He's saying, if anybody interprets Jesus Christ in the Bible of being God Himself, it would make Him the second person. That's what he's saying. If anybody misinterpret, which means you're wrongly interpreting Jesus Christ of the Bible, of being God, you're going to make a big mistake, because you're going to now have two gods. Notice, if anybody interpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of being God Himself, it would make Him the second person in the Godhead. Well, let's look at the second illustration. The word miss means to interpret wrongly. Is that right? What it means? To misinterpret means to misinterpret wrongly? Let's read it that way then. Two, interpret wrongly Jesus Christ being the Word, you'd make Him one God out of three. So what is he saying? He's saying Jesus Christ is not the Word of John 1 and 1. Because if He was the Word of John 1 and 1, He'd have to be God, and now you'd have two gods. You'd have God who's the Word, and the Word, another God that was with God. Now you got two gods. To misinterpret Jesus Christ being the Word, you'd make Him one God out of three. Now, we can do this. I can take the
the word miss off of here, but I've got to leave a negative in there somewhere. Or I reverse. So, if I say, to interpret Jesus Christ as being the Word, you not make Him one God out of three.
Because you've got to have that negative in there. Because He said, misinterpret. To interpret Jesus Christ being the Word, you'd not make Him one God out of three. So if you interpret it correctly, you won't make Him one God out of three.
Are you with me in this? Do you understand what I'm bringing out here?
That is broken down about as easy as I can do it.
If anybody missed not being God Himself,
it would make Him the it would make Him the second person.
If anybody interpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of being God Himself,
you would make Him the second person. There you have it. Now, I want you to notice there are two negatives in the sentence, as we said. And we all know that that in language, two negative prepositions are, if they're used in a sentence, actually, they shouldn't be used in a sentence. You don't use a double negative. What's the word that everybody uses all the time? Irregardless. Irregardless, they say. Irregardless. Well, irregardless is not even a word. It's either regardless, or that's it. Irregardless negates the whole thing. Because the IR in front of it says regardless. So regardless. Or disregard the regardless. So what are you talking about? I remember years ago when I wrote the questions and answers on the appearing versus the coming. I sent it to Brother Vail. He was sick down in Tucson, and he read it, and he sent it back. He called me, and he said, Brian, he said, you might want to make a change in the opening sentence. And the opening sentence said, some people are now saying that the appearing, which is taking place now, is actually the second coming. Is this true? And I said, no. Now, that's me. I'm blunt. And God help me, but that's just the way I am. I said, no. I said, what is taking place now is the second coming. Well, Brother Vail said, you might want to change that. And I said, why? He said, because, he said, when people read it, he said, they will automatically stop reading it if they believe that way. They'll throw it away. So I said, you want to read the rest of it, because this is very good. So, I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, you might say, yes, but not per se. You know, is this the second coming taking place right now? Yes, but not per se. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, yes, we have no bitterness. In other words, yes, it's not true. Yes, we have no bananas. Now, if I say, yes, we have no bananas, does that mean we have bananas or we don't have bananas? We don't have bananas. Well, Brother Branham says to misinterpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of not being God. If you take the miss and you take the not out, you read it, if anybody interprets Jesus Christ in the Bible of being God Himself, he makes Him a second person. To misinterpret Jesus Christ, to interpret wrongly Jesus Christ as being the Word, you'd make Him one God out of three. So you see how important that negative participle, or whatever you call it, I don't know, but I mean, I do very poorly. My girls are better in English than I am. Maybe that's why they can translate my sermon so easy, because my English is so poor. It's closer to what they're saying to begin with, I guess. Alright, now, notice if anybody interpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of being God Himself, He makes Him the second person, and He's speaking about the Godhead.
So you see, he is speaking of misinterpreting the Word of God, and the word misinterpret means to interpret wrongly. So if we read it this way, notice to misinterpret or to interpret wrongly, that Jesus, in the form of God in a man, you'd make him one God out of three. To misinterpret or to interpret wrongly that Jesus Christ is the Word, or being the Word, you'd make him one God out of three. Or you'd make him the second person in the Godhead. And to do that, you'd mess the whole Scripture up. You'd never get nowhere. So it must not be misinterpreted. Therefore, he is saying here that if you wrongly interpret Jesus as the Word, you make two in the Godhead. And that is what we are accused of, because the oneness among us in the message do not seem to be able to read what the prophet said the way that he said it. They are always saying, say what the prophet says, say what the prophet says, say what the prophet says. So I can put it this way and say what the prophet said. Because if I have misinterpret, not being, that's the same as interpreting and being. That helps me to understand it. I mean, that helps me to take what Brother Branham said. Because he's not talking about interpreting. He's talking about misinterpreting, being wrong. To be wrong about Jesus Christ being the Word, you'd make him one God out of three. Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, he is saying that if you wrongly interpret Jesus Christ as the Word, you make two in the Godhead. And that is what we are accused of, because the oneness among us in the message do not seem to be able to read what the prophet said the way that he said it. They say, only say what the tapes say, and then they go ahead and say it not the way that he said it. He said to wrongly interpret Jesus as the Word, you would mess up the whole understanding of the Godhead, and you would end up with two beings, two of them being God, which is impossible, since God is one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Behold, O Israel, I the Lord am one God, and thou shalt have no other God before me. Now, if Jesus is the Word, and that makes him God, and God is the Word, now you've got two gods, as this one minister happens to say it. I just can't understand what he said. He said, Jesus is God. I can't understand that. I can understand him saying God was in his Son. Or as Paul said, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That makes him deity in flesh. But what hope have you and I have of deity in our flesh if the flesh of Jesus was deity? You see, God himself stepped into man. That made it possible for God to step into us, for God life to be in us. Therefore, he is saying that if you wrongly interpret Jesus as the Word, you make two in the Godhead. Alright? Now, we know that there is one God and he had a Son. And remember the eight statements Brother Branham makes concerning the difference between God and his Son. Number one, Brother Branham said that he never claimed to be oneness. He said, I am not a oneness. Number two, Brother Branham said, God is not one like your finger is one. Number three, Brother Branham said, Jesus could not be his own Father. Number four, Brother Branham said, the only difference between the Father and the Son is that sons have beginnings. Number five, Brother Branham said that God did not enter him until he was baptized in the River Jordan, and God left him in Gethsemane. So if God wasn't in him when he was born, up until the time of the River Jordan, then he was not God. He was the Son of God. And he died as the Son of God. He didn't die as God. In fact, Brother Brown said he couldn't have died. God couldn't have stayed with him because he said he could have died then. Look at how many times they tried to stone him. Look at how many times they tried to take him to the edge of the city, which was built on a hill, and throw him down the hill, toss him down so he'd die. Couldn't do it. Bible says he just turned right around and walked right through him. Brother Brown tells us the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. Brother Grant tells us that when God gave birth to his Son, he said, now we have two of them.
Or now there's two now. Hey, take it up with the prophet. He's vindicated, not me. But I'm just saying what he said, how he said it. And number eight, he said Jesus was a dual being. Now I know several brothers who believe this way. And these brothers, not the way Brother Branham said, I mean, they believe that... let me just say this. Many people today believe the parousia. Now, they might not use the word parousia, but they're teaching that God is here. But where the error has gone is they're teaching that God is in the bride. Now, God was in the bride performing in a way because the bride is His body. However, they're looking to do the same thing Brother Branham did because, you know, God is in them. Well, I beg to differ that God is not in us the way He was with His Son. And Brother Branham will plainly tell you that. But God is in us through God life. And I'm thankful for that. Because it's that life that will change this vile body, this mortal body. But anyway, so these two brothers claim to believe the presence, and yet they differ on where they stand with the Son of God. Now remember, we read from 2 Peter, he said, they're going to come into this message, bring in a wrong understanding, and they're going to disregard the one who purchased. That's the Son of God. Now what they've done is, one brother believes, and I talked quite in depth with him, he's a good brother, I love him, but he believes that Jesus, the Son of God, had no pre-existence. He believes that when God created all things in Christ through Christ, it was God in a theophany. God was doing it, and Jesus didn't have a pre-existence. Jesus came into being when He was birthed by Mary. Now the other brother believes that he believes that there was a pre-existent Jesus, and the Logos that came out of God was Jesus. And when God entered Him, He became God because He was with God and He was God. So now you have two gods. Two gods in a pre-existence. On the other hand, you have those who believe that there was no Son of God in the Old Testament, when the Bible plainly says there was. And that's where we're going. That's where the message has gone to. They teach that Jesus was not a son until He was born in the stable. And if this is true, then why would Brother Brown tell us that we bypassed our theophany, but Jesus did not bypass His theophany? In this case, then, if they believe that the theophany was God, then who is that God was speaking to in the beginning in Genesis 1:27 when He said, "Let us make man in our image"? Talking to Himself. On the other hand, if the theophany that they teach was the Logos of the body, or the body that God Himself dwelt in, and in that theophonic body He later came into Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh, and that the Son did not exist until He came into the flesh, then they believe that the theophany itself was a creation of God for a housing to express Himself in, but that the housing, the theophonic body, was the body of God and not the Son of God. Now, unless you're born again, you're going to have a lot of problems with this message. You're going to have a lot of problems. But to me, I understand. If anybody interpret Jesus Christ in the Bible of being God Himself, it would make Him the second person. To misinterpret Jesus Christ, to interpret wrongly Jesus Christ of being the Word, you'd make Him one God out of three. That's what he said. To interpret wrongly Jesus Christ being the Word, you'd make Him one God out of three. Now they read it like this. To interpret Jesus Christ as being the Word, you make him one out of three. Therefore, they say that he was God. You see, they don't understand that there's one God. He had a son. And the Spirit which was in God made that son, birthed that son. He had the same Spirit as God. He had the same Godhood, God life as God. But that didn't make him God. Okay. Back in paragraph 67 to 70, Brother Branham said, and who is this Melchizedek? He said, now the difference between him and you as a son, see, he was at the beginning the Word, an amorphed body. He came in and lived in that person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Now, which Jesus Christ is he talking about, the Son or the Father here? Didn't Brother Branham say that Melchizedek was the Father? Then which Jesus Christ is he talking about? He's talking about the Father. We never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now, you bypass that, because in that form he knowed all things. And you have never been able to know that yet. You come like Adam, like me. You become from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted, but when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's where we go. That is the Word. Then we can go back and see what we've done. Now, we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We've just become the flesh man, not the Word. But, and look clearly, it makes it clear that you will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. That proves the predestination of God. See, you can't be the Word unless you was a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you sin, all the Father hath given me will come to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. See, you had to be first. And then you see, he come right down the regular line from attribute to before the foundation of the world, his name's put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he become the Word, the theophany that could appear and disappear, and then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass that theophany, become flesh man to be tempted by sin, and then if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. And that's what we're talking about. When the body of the Son received the fullness of God Himself indwelling Him, it threw Him completely into subjection to the Father. Then everything He did was a manifestation of the Father. Now, the man that says that the electricity is useless unless you have the light bulb, that's like saying God is useless unless he had the body of Jesus. I just can't buy it. Jesus was useless without the Father. That's true. He said the Son can of himself do nothing. But to make God useless, to call that great fountain the great nothingness, I don't understand it. I don't understand how we can be so irreverent toward a God who is solitary, to a God who is sovereign, in which we have no thought coming, and He is great. And that great living fountain was a fountain of love and of life, not a fountain of nothingness. But God help us if it is. Because if our thoughts are that that great fountain is nothingness, then what does it make the great, what does it make the life that's in the fountain? It's nothing. Who needs it?
So you see where we are when we don't say it the way the prophet said it. To misinterpret, to interpret wrong, Jesus being the Word, you'd make him one out of three. Therefore, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Then out of that great fountain of Word, because remember, the Word is Spirit, came forth a part of God called the Logos. And this is where they get it all mixed up. Because in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was God. And the Logos became flesh. When did that happen? When God stepped into him. That's when God became flesh. Before that, when the attributes and characteristics of God was formed into that seed, that sperm and egg, that's when the expression of who and what God is come forth into a means by which we could handle him, feel him, talk to him. Like John says in 2 John in closing, let's see here, 1 John chapter 3, no, 1 John chapter 1, excuse me. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we see it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, notice, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So God, that great fountain of life, brought forth a means by which we could have fellowship, and that was through the instrumentality of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is Power, Hedges, and Prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words that we might understand. His brother Vale has fought the good fight, and he is so emphatic about John 1:1 being God, being you, Lord, and not being your Son. And men have taken and tried it, weighed it, found it wanting, could not understand when he quoted the scripture, said, "The Lord said unto my Lord," and they say he's preaching two lords, he's preaching two gods. They don't understand. Yet, Father, we can plainly see that to interpret wrongly Jesus Christ being the Word would make him one out of three gods. There'd have to be more than one God, if that's the case, because God is the Word. And Jesus himself was another being. And so some have actually made it. When God entered into Jesus in the form of the Logos, the Theophany, that Theophany became God, and they say that that God was with the God. Sounds Jehovah Witness to me. A God, which is the Word, with the God. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us, keep us, Lord, from all evil. For we ask it in Jesus' name.